dressed well, in spite of his rough life. I mean, neatly. He was arrested as being a vagabond, and somebody looked him over and said, well, judging from his linen, he's not a vagabond, that is. That part of his costume, which was subject to being washed and showing neatness, was all right. Now referring to the inward elements of his character, he seems to have been very sensitive to evil in the world about him. Like some modern people, I think he had what we would call a periods of depression. And I think not as a result of personal distress. In many ways, he was not an introvert, but an extrovert, I should say. But I think due to his sympathetic feeling about the troubles that England, shall I say, was passing through. He lived in a turbulent period, and these upsetting public events either realized or anticipated, because he had a kind of prophetic sense, made him often have periods of depression and sickness, almost at times blindness, half coma. I don't think they were due then to his own to physical causes so much as we would say as to emotional causes. He also had the periods of exaltation and great optimism. Some of his openings were of that sort. He tells of a vision of an ocean of darkness and death, and a vision of an ocean of light and life. And he says that the light vision overcame the dark vision. Also, as you already discovered from what he says about to his opponents, religious opponents, he was optimist about man. He believed that men had potentiality. This was a theological position, contrary to that of original sin of the Calvinists. He believed that there was something in men that could be appealed to, something in them which he and other Quakers ought to answer, to use his word. So that he was, he had this mood, a very much disapproved of in the modern theological world, of thinking that men have a power for good and not merely a power to do evil. I don't know whether we should call him a mystic or a psychic. Do you know the word psychic? I think perhaps the second. Theoretically a mystic, that is because he believed in communication between God and man, but he certainly had, at least he reports, of course we have to get this mostly from his journal, he reports having a second sight, insight, telepathy. When they hanged the Quakers in Boston Common, 3,000 miles from England, he said he had an inner sight of it. And he was a mind reader of people near him. He could tell the minute a man came in the room that there was something wrong with him. He also could tell that certain women were witches by seeing them at a distance. This is what we would call, if it's reliable, psychic powers. He could predict what was going to happen, though I don't think he did much of it publicly. so that there wasn't the chance of being confuted. And he had a as he tells, he had insight into certain problems. You remember there's one time he said he couldn't make up his mind whether to be a doctor, a preacher, or a lawyer. He thought about those three professions. And he felt that he had it in him to know what these people ought to know, and know it sort of by insight. You may know the medical profession depended very largely upon the use of herbs that grow in the ground, ordinary herbs. They had gardens, vegetable gardens and herb gardens, and Fox was all for them. In fact, he left some money to the city of Philadelphia to have an herb garden so that the Quaker settlers in Philadelphia could study these various roots and plants and so on, and learn something about medical health that way, so that at least he felt with his what Carlyle calls his enormous self-confidence that he had certain of these powers. And I expect he was able from his life to find for himself confirmation. He saw a man at a distance, and when the man came up and he had a talk with him, he saw that he had guessed rightly what kind of a man he was. I think he could tell a man that was tender, to use the word I mentioned last time, man that was likely to yield to his message, as well as he could tell about more sinister people who were stubborn and likely to be hostile. And even he could tell when a man was likely to have a rapier under his cloak and try to kill him. That he could predict and anticipate. Early in his journal, you read of a famous passage where he had the word of the Lord burning in him, and it led him to walk across the fields to the great cathedral at Lichfield, not far from his home. And he felt impelled to say, "Woe to the bloody city." And he took off his shoes and walked across country and into the city and round the city and cried, "Woe to the bloody city." Then he began to wonder why he'd done that. I mean, he made his impulse first and then rationalized it later, which Professor Heath tells me here is a good psychological process. And he did that. And he discovered, by reading some very old books, that back in the time of Diocletian, I suppose that's about 300 odd A.D., a lot of Christians were martyred right there in Lichfield, and their blood flowed in the marketplace, and that he had been called upon by the Lord to wade in his stocking feet through that puddle of blood and cry, "Woe to the bloody city." Well, that's his explanation. At any rate, you'll have to say it's a mark of a man that yielded impulse. I was occasionally worried a little bit about the impulse, and if possible, he could explain it. Another thing that he felt he could do, and this goes along with his thought he had some knowledge about physic, that is, medicine, was he thought he could cure people. And you'll find the journal and from time to time references to people he met who were sick with this or that, and he cured them. And this he tells in the journal. When the journal was published, as we can tell from the manuscript, this is not that was the basis of it, his editors left out a number of these miracle stories. That is, he was just a little bit too supernatural for his admirers and friends in his bare, uncensored journal. So they left some of these out, but they left enough in to raise the criticism of a great many of the opponents of Fox after his death, because they show in the journal. And we happen to know more about this than meets the eye, either in the journal in its unedited form or in the journal in its edited form with only 12 of these left, because he also compiled what he called a Book of Miracles. That is the name of a book, and he refers to its existence in writing his journal. He left word that it might be published as a separate book after his death, as he expected the journal to be and others of his writings. And this book, I'm sorry to say, is not extant in manuscript. It would be quite interesting if we could read it all. We probably know 20 of what appear to be about 150 episodes in this book. And this claim, you see, is part of his feeling that God was with him, powers of God were given to him for the benefit of mankind, and that these episodes were worth reporting. His literary executors thought differently and never published this book. And it's lost. It was in manuscript. However, if I may refer to a personal experience, I discovered once an index to the book.